Today is Father's Day. The question is, what to preach on? You see, Mother's Day and Father's Day can be minefields for the preacher. For many, these holidays are days that deserve to be celebrated with homemade cards and deepest expressions of love and gratitude. For others, especially those who have lost a parent during the last year, Father's Day can often bring sadness and grief and a sense of loss all over again. And for others who, for whatever reason, have a less than happy relationship with a father or a mother, days like this one can bring to the surface old wounds and plenty of unresolved feelings. On days like today, I've always tried to be very careful in my choice of words and subjects. Knowing that not all experiences are positive, there have been years on Father's Day and Mother's Day when I have simply wished them a happy day and focused on the gospel. The big temptation today is to go for the cliches, and there are plenty of them out there. Our tendency as a culture is to bring out the sentimental on a day like today. That way we can avoid the difficult memories and skim the surface of emotions that today might produce. But rather than doing that, I'd like to talk about the ways that we talk and think about God as Father, and even as Mother in the church. I'm one who was raised up in Bayside with a very strong patriarchal image of God. Until I was in my 20s, images of God were all male all the time. My Sunday school God was a strong father God, high in the sky with a long gray beard and a flowing white robe that seemed to connect with the clouds and envelop the earth. I was told that God was love, but I was also told that this God was almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and a fierce judge. Although I was taught to love God in return for God's love for me, I was also taught to fear God, to be attentive to God's wrath and anticipate God's anger. Being young at the time, I resolved not to get on God's wrong side. Then, in the fall of 1972, in my senior year of high school, an author by the name of Mary Daly wrote a powerful little book called Beyond God the Father. She was a Roman Catholic scholar and theologian, and she stated that we needed to get beyond patriarchy, beyond the controls of an angry, self-righteous God, to be freed for lives of love and freedom. Daly taught us that there is a political correlation between a patriarchal God and religions that use God, that God, to keep women and sometimes even men in their places. This Father God was a God of control who used power to maintain the status quo rather than contributing to the freedom of the human being in relationship to a God of empowering love and justice. Those were powerful and thoughtful days for me. In my seminary days, we systematically removed male-gendered language from everything we said or wrote or thought. We never used he or him to relate to God. We refused to use the word Father at any time except maybe the Lord's Prayer. We thought it was daring to use the word Mother instead. I'll never forget one occasion where the president of the seminary, a traditionalist to say the least, was leading prayer in chapel. It was a prayer that exploded into our ears and moved our spirits in a powerful way. I still remember how he began his prayer. O God and Goddess, Father and Mother, Lord and Lady of the universe, King and Queen of all creation, saving son and daughter of all that is. I thought the roof of the chapel would cave in. But you see, many of us in that time began to use that gender-neutral language for God. We began to use the word God every time a pronoun for the divine appeared. We also began to use words like the reign of God instead of the kingdom of God. And we began to use both the feminine and the masculine whenever we could. It was a necessary corrective for me. And I believe that it put women and men more in touch with the struggle for the holy in the midst of Christian language. We had to pay attention. Some thought it was silly and others thought their lives depended on it. But all of us paid attention to language and to each other as we spoke about God. As we read the scripture and as we sang the hymns, many of which were written 100 or more years ago. Now we're in a new time, a new era. The question of language takes us beyond gender, beyond sexism, beyond patriarchy. We're entering yet another time. A time when we're trying to hear each other above the din of labels and particular identities. The name of God has been used to separate people and justify wars. As people of faith and seekers after truth, we've got to bridge the differences that separate and exclude us, others from our fellowship. Because they're different from us, or they call God by some other name. Our world is groaning to become interfaithful and diverse and inclusive. In these times, the battle isn't between men and women. It isn't only about gender and patriarchy. It's about power and possession. It's now imperative that we embrace the Spirit whose deep name is love. No matter what language we speak, no matter our gender, our experience, our nationality, our religion, or the color of our skin. One commentator wrote, "We believe it is God's work to practice humility, to wear tolerance on our sleeves, to reach out to those with whom we disagree, and to overcome the meanness we see in politics today. It's time to move beyond worry about the gender of God or what God looks like, and to move into that rich silence beyond giving God a name." Several years ago, I was privileged to be one of about 50 preachers from across the United States that was invited to attend a preaching workshop with the renowned Barbara Brown Taylor. There she reminded us that God is more present in silence than in all the words we use in our attempt to describe God or our experience of God. For the biblical Jew, God's name was unsayable. The only person allowed to speak the name of God was the high priest, and that was once a year when he presented the plight of his people to God on Yom Kippur. For the Jews, Yahweh was the name of the living God. No vowels, just the sound of the wind or the breath of the divine Yahweh. I am that I am. Still, in all this, we hunger to describe God, to address the Spirit of God, to praise God for all that has been brought into our lives. And speaking of God, the deepest metaphors for me are still the human ones. I long for the intimacy of the I-Thou relationship, and in that relationship, I have learned to speak of God in many ways. And with many names. In recent times, I found myself returning to some images of God that haven't worked in the past. I suppose it's from my understanding my role more as a parent and seeing with greater clarity the examples, both good and bad, that I have shown my children. My folks mixed up the gender roles quite a bit. Both could be either the strong disciplinarian or the compassionate, softer parent. I realize that my image of a caring, intimate, divine presence has been shaped by their love and their faith in God. I know that God is beyond all names and words, and yet in my desire to come home to God, I find myself returning to a home of long ago with all of its flaws and shortcomings. And in that return, like the prodigal son, I'm welcomed home again. And like the prodigal, I'm awash in extravagant love. Makes me realize we need to let God out of the box that we've built. And when we do, I believe we will grow as people. And we'll find new ways to serve God in the world. It's Father's Day. Let's celebrate the intimate spirit of love that is our God. Amen.